Here.
Here. Okay, all members are present and accounted for. First item is approval of minutes. Item number one, this will be for the regular meeting of December 6th because our December 20th meeting was canceled. I want to give have a moment to review those. We have a motion to approve them.
Can I just raise maybe a correction there?
Certainly.
It appears that's what's in we had a January 3rd meeting. Apparently there may be a typo in the approval of the minutes.
Because
the minutes that are reflected as item number one on the January 3rd.
I
want to thank Gene for that because he's really the one that before the meeting brought that to everybody's attention.
Went back too far there. That's right. This is January 3rd minutes. This is where we heard the report from Jim Gehring on the wastewater facility expansion and all that. So thank you for that correction. January 3rd minutes. Do I have a motion? Okay, I have a motion by Director Blair. Do I hear a second?
Second.
And a second by Director Simon. All directors in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, nobody's opposed. Motion passed unanimously. Item number two is a public comments period. If there's anything out there that any attendees would like to discuss for just a couple of minutes, this is the time to do it. These would be items that are not currently on the agenda. Yes, Ms. Melskow?
Donna Melskow. I received a copy of the draft groundwater management plan at one of the meetings, and then I was informed here a couple days ago that comments were to be in on January 8th.
Nice.
I didn't know that because I'd just taken a copy of it, and I didn't have that letter, evidently, that you put on top of it that you sent out to various people. My question is, is that a firm deadline, or is there a way that we can get that extended? After all, it was the Christmas holidays and Thanksgivings and everything.
It's not firm at all. We're taking any comments as we go on. We'll probably go till the end of the month before we start putting something together.
Okay.
So it's not firm at all.
My comments aren't in either.
Huh?
My comments aren't in either.
Okay, well, there are several of us working on comments, and just we wanted to make sure we were getting them in.
We have no hard time frame on.
Okay.
Well, I would imagine there's going to be several different times to come back with new drafts and a new draft and a new draft. Okay,
that was Don Melskow. You got that right. Yes.
Don Snyder from California. I had a similar comment, and one question I had was there appears to be actually two drafts upon close examination, because I also picked up the draft from here, and then I was later comparing that to another draft, and one has a date on the bottom, and one does not. Is there a difference between the two drafts?
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I know of.
There's probably one that has some hidden.
Like
there's probably one that has some hidden text, you know. So
I was wondering, the format is a little different.
I didn't pick that up. I only have one copy of what was most recently distributed.
Did,
the one that was distributed to everybody had the date at the bottom of the first draft,
11/17. Then was the one at the meeting did not have that? The one exactly for me.
Probably so.
Yeah, it was probably blank, the one at the board meeting.
Well, I would also like to, you know, extend the comment period until the DWR report comes in.
Yeah, I'm flexible.
Okay.
We're taking this very slowly. These are preliminary steps. Any other comments or questions on items that aren't on the agenda? Okay, there'll be a public comment period at the end of the meeting, too, as usual. So if you think of something, you can jump in there. Item number three is board administration, is under board administration. This is concerning the Food Bank Coalition and their wants to use our facility across the street. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, staff has been contacted by the representative from the Food Bank Coalition of San Luis Obispo County, requesting to distribute food to the Napomo area by just unloading the food at the dock across the way and then the Salvation Army would do the distribution. Previously, they, about a year and a half ago, they unloaded and made their own distribution. So we made arrangements right now with the Salvation Army to make the distribution, and they would just be providing food services for that distribution by the Salvation Army. I believe there might be a representative in the audience that can speak further on this. If we proceed this way, they made, I think, two drops so far. One was just before Christmas and one after, and staff just let them go because of the holidays and the need for the community. But it should take board action to continue this type of accommodation.
Okay, what is the type of insurance you're looking for on this?
We have insurance by the Special District Association. Anybody using any of our facilities has to provide a certain policy.
Are we talking liability and vehicle? Because you're going to be using a truck on the premises.
Right.
I could just go over that. Usually it's the same policy, but it would be a general liability, an automobile liability policy, called a comprehensive liability policy, and the other one would be a workman's comp policy. If they're required to have one, I'm not sure what the their organization's workman's comp requirements are.
Is up to $1 million on liability, like we do on some of our contract agreements, for instance, with product protections and all that?
That's up to staff to negotiate.
Okay. Any board questions of Mr. Jones before we go to the Food Bank Coalition representative? Okay. If there's a representative here, if you'd like to add anything, you may do so at this time. Are there any representatives here? We have a letter from Donna Williams. Okay, you don't have anything to add? Okay. So there are no representatives here. Anything you need to tell us further, Mr. Jones?
I'm not sure what the duration of it, but they'll be notified that it's probably a short-term procedure since the district is proceeding with architecture drawings, and hopefully by the end of the year we'll probably demolish the building and start construction.
How is this different than what was going on there before? They were taking in food and distributing it at the office before, and now it's...
Well, so they were taking it in and putting it in one of the bins over there, the bays, and then from that bay distribution themselves. And now they're just using the Salvation Army. They'll just come up, unload, and then leave the products on the dock, and Salvation Army makes the distribution.
Okay. I don't see any problems with it. Any questions? Any input at all? You have any problems with it? Katie or Bob?
Seems to fit a good need, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of the way I feel. I don't think it's... then I'll entertain a motion that we approve that the food bank be able to use the facilities across the street. That's a,
I so move.
All right, got a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Director Blair. Any further public comment? Okay, it's a little late. But. Okay, all directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, motion passed unanimously. That's item number three. Item number four is regarding a cathodic protection for one of the 500,000-gallon tanks at Dana. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, this is because he has two half-million-gallon storage facilities up at the end of Test Street and Dana Foothill Road. The second tank was constructed after the original tank and was cathodic protected during construction. The original tank does not have cathodic protection. Staff put monies in the budget to add cathodic protection and paint the tank. Upon inspection of the tank, it looked like the interior coating is fairly substantial, and feel that at this time we would not paint the tank, but we should go ahead with the cathodic protection, which electronically protects the integrity of the steel tank. This is a kind of a special specialized contractors that do this work, and we contacted three or four of them and sent requests out to three of them. One of them notified us that they would not respond. The other two of them did, and we received one from Cathodic Protection Services for $6,055 and another from Harco Waterworks for $6,845. We have budgeted, like I mentioned, about $70,000 to do this work plus painting, and so there's ample funds in the tank to put in this cathodic protection. It would be staff recommendation that the work be given to the lowest proposal of cathodic protection services in the amount of $6,055.
Where are these two outfits from, just for curiosity?
One's back east. Harco has a field office in Phoenix. And we could contact another one, which is the Far Western Service. They have an office in Bakersfield, but they called and said they wouldn't be bidding. And there's another office back in Texas, which I called numerous times and could never get a response.
Cathodic Protection is the one that did the million gallon tank, isn't it?
Yes, we have a contract with them right now that they come around and service the three tanks that we have the cyber protection right now. You know, the standpipe and the black lake tank.
When the two tanks at Jana were inspected, was there a noticeable difference between the two in deterioration? The one having it and one not?
I didn't notice. Fire protection just protects the tank in the water level. The roof is not protected, and usually that eventually starts corroding faster or rust deteriorates that to the inside. You have 10 holes. Theoretically, you could put a tank on service, not coat it at all, and put the fire protection and crank up the power and protect the tank. It would not deteriorate. But then your power requirements run up pretty substantial. You have to be coating the tank, and the power requirements are really low. If you get a pinhole in the coating, it's corrosion in tanks is interesting. If you have a pinhole, it seems to very aggravate that pinhole, and corrosion takes place very rapidly. Whereas if you have a wide surface, it takes place over a slower period. So a pinhole will deteriorate through faster in a tank than a wide space. And it's just the electronics of it.
Electronics, what is the process? What does it remove? Rust?
It prevents the ions, the negative ions, coming out of the metal. It's like a battery, positive and negative ions.
Okay.
And each material has positive and negative ions, and basically it eliminates, I think it's the negative ions from moving out of the material, therefore corroding the material. It's an electric potential that prevents that from happening.
It's a physical process then.
Yeah. Well, electrophysical.
Yeah.
Repeat oxidation.
Right.
Yeah. Those tanks black iron or galvanized?
Pardon?
Is they black iron or galvanized?
They're steel, uncoated.
Any public comments or questions of the board, Mr. Jones, on the side?
This might make one comment. The contract has been modified slightly than the one that's in your packet. Basically, we changed the paragraph 4D, I believe maybe on page 3, to include our standard language that the payment to contractor, actually it's page 2-4B, that all invoices will reflect the phase to which the request for payment is being invoiced and the percentage of completion of each phase in the project. That's our new standard language in contracts, that when we get an invoice, the contractor needs to articulate to us exactly what work he's completed and where he is in the total project, what percentage of completion. And lastly, we changed the insurance term, which is on page 3, I believe. Basically, this is on the modified contract, to say that the contractor shall maintain comprehensive general liability and automobile liability insurance.
Okay.
So we made those two corrections.
Right in that area on part C, it's 6C on page 3, John. The word consultant is used. Should that be contractor?
Right. It is changed in the new contract.
Okay.
I was looking at the old. So see right here.
Talking about page 3 of the agreement.
See, the one you have in the book here goes from contractor. That was picked up when we reviewed it.
Okay, and then on the exhibit, that's my page 7, open paragraph, it says 0.05 in the tank. It should be 0.5.
Right. Much easier to open that.
500,000 gallons, just a decimal point off there. And I've got some other minor just numbering incongruities, I guess, but they're not substantial. I'll just hand them to you, and maybe you can fix up the typos. You can keep the ones you like and throw out comments you don't like, but they're not substantive.
Any questions or comments from board members on the agreement, the exhibit, or the proposed resolution?
Is this the only tank that's lacking that?
Yes. Yes. So the others, we have four tanks, the other three have to start fixing.
Anything here? Okay, one more chance off the audience. Any questions out there? Okay, turn around to any motion then. That we, it looks like the Aquatic Protection Services was a little better, so. Does anyone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve this resolution number 96568.
Okay, I have a motion by Director Fairbanks. Do I have a second? And a second by Director Mendoza. This is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Pomona Community Services District approving the services of Cathodic Protection Services. And that amount was $6,055. They were the low bidder. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Fairbanks?
Yes.
Director Mendoza?
Yes.
Director Bolden?
Yes.
Director
Simon?
Yes.
Director
Small?
Yes. Okay, motion passed unanimously. Resolution is passed unanimously. On item number 5, this is an intent to serve track 2212. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, we received a request from developer's engineer for an intent to serve letter for water and sewer services for track 2212. 2212 is a 8-lot subdivision near the intersection of Pomeroy and Chesapeake across from the regional park. It's backed up to Primrose Lane. Based on the Boyle report, the water demands and sewer demands for this subdivision is 2.9 acre feet per year for water and about 1,560 gallons per day for sewer flow. That's for the total 8 lots in the tract. Presently, the district has capacity in its water and wastewater area to serve this tract. As normal, if any intent to serve letters issue, a number of conditions are put on it before the final will serve letter is issued. And some of the conditions we just would put on the intent to serve letter was that improvement plans would be submitted to the district for approval and the plan check inspection agreement be entered into. That all appropriate easements and improvements be dedicated to the district once they are completed and inspected and approved. And all the appropriate fees, water, sewer, and et cetera, are paid to the district. And in this particular instance, if you look at the map on your third page back, you see the track with 8 lots, and then the sewer service comes down to Test Street. As the sewer service goes through the easement, there's a number of properties there that to acquire the easement, I think the developer offered them a service, and therefore, if services are offered to those off-site improvement or properties, is that those fees also be paid before acceptance by the district. And then that the normal conduit and be installed for future meter reading, and that this track coordinates their activities with track 1981, which is just north of the area. Track 1981 is putting in the sewer line on the south side of their development, which will be serving lots 1, 2, and 3, and that the two projects need to be coordinated to a certain extent. And if based on those recommendations, staff would recommend approval. There may be a representative in the district or in the audience that may wish to speak on this matter.
Okay, can I ask just one or two little questions here first? The on the letter from VRR Associates, It mentions, of course, 1981, which you alluded to. It says, as part of the sanitary sewer construction, we're requesting service for Bianchi and Martinez properties. That's attached on the map. Now, is that included in these 8 lots that we're considering tonight, or is that a separate request?
Uh, that would have to be they would have to come in and request sewer service.
Okay, because it's currently being reviewed by San Luis Obispo County and us.
One, I think there are existing homes on both the properties.
Okay.
And we would handle those as similar to a volunteer where the fees are paid and.
So track 1981 is closer to where the sewer lateral is going to be. Is that it? They're going to share
some lines. You see 1981. You see the little dash line on the bottom of their track between the two tracks.
Right.
Lots 1, 2, and 3 will have laterals off that line, and the track 1981. 1 through 8 will be servicing by that sewer line. So that sewer line will serve lots 1 through 6 of 1981 and lots 1 through 3 of track 2212.
Okay, but track 1981 has not been before us yet.
Yes, it has. It has, and it's probably, I don't know how far ahead of the other one, but it is ahead of the 2212.
Okay. Well, as long as things are coordinated, it looks like that's a condition of the intent to serve. Got it worked in there. Any board questions at this point?
How do you get access into that 1, 2, and 3? Is there a road in there I don't see? Or?
Well, that's a question I have also.
Huh?
I don't know.
Is there a project representative here?
Yeah, maybe answer a couple of questions. Or maybe tell us whatever you want to tell us to open, if you like.
My name is Keith McGregor. I'm VR Art Associates. I'm representing the project.
Keith McGregor?
I got a little more detailed map if anybody's in need of a map. So the tentative map
Okay, so we don't have to shuffle things around. Maybe we can work. Let me show you what we have on a very small scale. Maybe you can kind of tailor your. Will that work for what you want to tell us?
Sure. Lots 1, 2, and 3 are going to be accessed. This is the easement right here. This is proposed 25-foot wide private access easement. This is a public road that is going to be improved to the track boundary here. This is going to be a private access easement that will serve lots 1, 2, and 3 for access. And it will be dead-end. It will be a barricade here, so there will be no ingress.
Is it going to be paved?
Yes, it's going to be paved.
Okay.
And there will be a barricade here, Palmer's, so there's no access.
Well, lots 4 and 5 will just...
And as any clarification that as far as the rest, all 8 of these lots will be served from the sewer. I don't know if I misunderstood what was going to happen.
Well, I just couldn't see how they were going to get in there. The more I look at that.
And these are existing homes on the
road down here.
So the existing homes are going to come off of that too?
Yes, there's an existing home here on the Martinez property that's shown, and down here in the Bianchi property, there's a structure up here, a residence there.
Yeah.
And we're working with Mr. Soto on the adjacent side here too, to see if he will.
I got more of those. Okay. Well, that clears up the road thing a little bit. So you guys are—you represent both tracks of land you got back.
Actually, I'm only representing track 22.
So eventually, this road will probably come all the way through the test.
Well, the intended circulation for this new county San Luis Obispo Engineering Department has a proposed bulb here in this area here, which really, realistically, won't work because of this existing home that is there. And That's something that's down the road.
Okay. All right, thanks. Thanks, Keith.
Access comes up this way for these three lots.
Actually, it comes from here. This is going to be the private access. This is going to be barricaded. We know that's going to be a condition of approval from the county of San Luis Obispo Group of Engineering that no ingress or egress takes place on Pomeroy any longer. They want everything to move in this fashion.
Anyone have any questions of Mr. McGregor before he sits down?
Well, let's go through the question.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments from the audience at this time? Okay, so the request is although the letter mentions Bianchi and Martinez, this is just what we're considering tonight, 8 lots for Tract 2212, water and sewer request.
Except the Wilson River would not be issued until all the fees are paid, including the off-site property.
And you've got 6 conditions here which you outlined. Anyone have any questions about the conditions?
We don't need a lift station or anything like that in here, do we?
This drains into the test street and test street goes into a lift station with pumped up. And part of the fees will be the water, sewer, and lift station.
Okay.
Cool.
500 North connection?
Yes.
The lift station.
Per lot.
Okay, if there's no further comments or questions, then Carol will entertain a motion that we issue.
Can I have a question of Mr. Jones?
Yes.
On the remaining properties of Bianchi and Martinez property, should we formally request some type of service for those lots from you? Since the construction is all going to be handled at one time, we would want to put those laterals in.
Right, I think each property owner should submit a request for service.
Okay, Carol, I'll get a motion then regarding track 22-12.
Make a motion that we approve sewer and water service tentative for track 22-12 with the existing 6 conditions.
Okay.
And that all the fees are paid before the petition.
That's right,
that? Yeah.
Okay, got a motion by Director Blair. Do I have a second?
Support.
A second by Director Fairbanks. All directors in favor, issuing the intent to serve, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Okay, nobody's opposed.
Yeah, just for further information, there's a couple properties right on Pomeroy, and the engineer was directed to see if eventually those properties could gravity sewer into the sewer line. We've had a request from that one existing property owner about tying the sewer lines, and they're investigating the possibility of doing that.
So that the sewer line at Center Test Street only goes up to this point down here?
Yeah, it's in Test Street and goes past Pomeroy up to where the school is. There's no sewer in Pomeroy. And that one existing home on that small lot has come in one time and asked about sewer service, and that said they'd have to extend to Pomeroy. And since this is all going on, whether that can be gravity into this existing line with some type of easement to get over there. And the engineer said that they would look into that and see if that could be incorporated in there. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to look ahead and solving all problems at one time.
All right. Let's move on. That's item number 5. Item number 6 is the San Francisco Council of Governments meeting. LOCOG, and this is the workshop for February 3rd. Mr. Jones?
Mr. President, we received a letter from the San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments informing us of a workshop to be held on Saturday, February 3rd at the Embassy Suites, and they're requesting that either the chair and the general manager of special districts attend this workshop, which will be discussing the spheres of influence of LAFCO and sales tax negotiations. They mentioned that the cities and the Board of Supervisors as a body have been invited, but because of the number of special districts within the county, they felt that their full board could not be invited and participate, so just requesting a couple members from each board to attend. All members are invited, but to participate in the workshop, they just wish a couple members from each of the districts participate.
I should say that I'm unavailable. I'm out of town that weekend. I've got a 2-day blast effects dynamic seminar with the team for my full job, for my regular job. And I'm leaving Friday the 2nd. Friday is the 2nd, right? This occurs on a Saturday.
That's right.
I'm not coming back till Sunday night.
What time does this thing start?
It starts at 9 o'clock and goes to 4.
If anyone else is
is interested, I imagine we can probably
it's not compulsory.
We'll have to reserve a spot or anything. No, we can take two members.
It's not compulsory, but
you guys can think about it. Bob's expressed an interest.
Yeah, there's a $15 fee per person attending that includes lunch.
unless I want to call, but I wouldn't mind going just to hear what they have to say.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, so we can. So Bob's will be a board representative. As Mr. Jones said, you know, one or more board members can show up. It's just that they want the general manager and at least one board representative. But we can send a couple for others to talk if you want to show. Carpool up there. Do we need any motion on that for the selection or anything? Or
no.
Basic information. Okay. Any comments, questions from the audience? All right. On to item number 7. This is a property exchange regarding a lot split by a district and a reversion of a lot to the original developer. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, this is a parcel in Black Lake Mobile Home Estates, which used to be on a community septic tank system where they were sewered and they all went through this one particular lot where they had a couple of septic tanks and an on-site disposal. When the sewer project came in, a lift station was put in one small portion of each parcel and the septic tank system abandoned by the county. In the original subdivision that the county approved, there's a reversionary clause in there that once the property is no longer used for sewer service or disposal service, it would revert back to the original property owner or his representative. And this has gone on. I think there was some lawsuit filed at this time and negotiated out that between the county and the developer and the district that the district would return approximately 120 feet of the total property, keeping a small section. Restricted for non-residential use, and they have included an agreement in here, a conveyance agreement for restricted use of the property, which outlines certain restrictions and legal counsel can review that. We're to the point where the map is about ready to be recorded, and the agreement processed by the district, this information will be all sent back to the surveyor that the property which will be conveyed back to, and they will process it through the county. Basically, all the fees associated with this and everything else are being picked up by the property owner and not the district.
Now, the lot that we're going to retain is one referred to as remainder parcel on the drawing.
That's correct.
That's looks to be about 2,000 square feet.
Right. Yeah, right. It's about 30 feet by 100, or about 30 feet by 100 foot parcel.
Okay.
So which parcel do they get?
They get parcel 1 and 2.
And they're not going to be able to build on it?
Yeah, those two parcels are 6,000 square foot, and they'll be able to put, it's in a mobile home park, and mobile homes will be put on these properties. That's what I'm assuming it will be. Mm-hmm. So there are parcels that can be sold off and be
built. And which one can't be used, the little remainder parcel?
That's correct.
Was that ours anyhow?
Well, all three of them were ours, but that last one remains with the district where the lift station is.
Oh,
okay. Also on that parcel, there's a septic tank and seepage pits that are used as a backup system in case the lift station fails.
Well, those aren't on lots 1 and 2 now, are they? Parcel 1 and 2?
No.
That's elsewhere. Okay. So parcel 1 and 2 will now go back. It's to Armstrong, is that the name?
Well, yeah, I think he conveyed it to somebody else, but that's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the surveyor who's representing the owner.
Okay, is there anything in the agreement that that you wanted to tell us about? I had one question on page 2 of the covenant agreement restriction of property by the county. It's first whole paragraph, it's under subpart one. It says, shall run with the land, shall be binding upon the owner, blah, blah, blah. Shall remain in effect until the covenant and agreement is canceled by the authority of the county of San Luis Obispo. It doesn't say anything really about conditions of cancellation, and it doesn't really, maybe I didn't read it as closely as I should have. It doesn't say much about NCSD agreement cancellation either. Is there anything we should be concerned about?
Well, this is an agreement between the district and the county,
right,
regarding the use of that property. So this would envision, since the district actually owns the property subject to these conditions, the way this agreement is written, first of all, it's written by the county, but it would envision that there would be if there was going to be a change in the use of this property, it would be the Napomo Community Service District that would apply to the county for that change. The county would have no incentive to want to change the conditions to it on its own. So the application would come from the district to the county. What they're saying here is that this property can be, as if you want to go out to page 2 and take a look at paragraph number 1, so we're going to be notifying the county. What the surveyor wanted that number 1 to say was, owner agrees to limit the use of owner's property, and we're the owner there, for the purpose of operating and maintaining a sewage pump station and the way it was originally written and other related facilities. So arguably they were just going to limit our ability to use that property as a pump station. Staff made a modification to it, and we intend to, by transmittal, inform the county of this change. We changed the language to read, owner agrees to limit the use of owner's property for the purposes of operating and maintaining a sewage pump station and other district facilities. So they don't necessarily have to be related to pumping sewage. We may need that property for some water issues or other district issues, and we would not want to be in a position where we had to apply for the county to get their approval. I think probably that's what the county intended. They just, when they use that word related facilities, it could be construed as only relating to sewage pumpage. We wanted to make it clear to the county that the district may have other district-related facilities, not sewage pump-related facilities, that they may want to use that property for.
Has the county been exposed to that at this point?
No, they will in the transmittal letter back to them.
Okay.
Clearly, their main concern is that this substandard size lot doesn't get used for residence.
Exactly. And we just wanted to make it, but we also wanted to maintain the district's option to use the property for any district facilities, and not just related to the lift station.
I would think that in a residential area, you wouldn't try to develop too much of a service yard looking facility, would you?
It would just maintain the district's option without going to the county, through a county process of seeking further approval in case something did come up in the future.
I don't foresee that being anything more than a pump station right now.
Right.
Yeah, the district in the hearing requested that no encumbrances be put on the property because of the potential assets of the district. When you have encumbrance on it, it lowers the value of it. And I expressed in funding such addition bond issues, they kind of look at the overall assets of the district, and any encumbrances on any property reduces that asset. But they were very concerned about any potential usage. If it was not used for the district, didn't have any encumbrances or restrictions on it, it would still be a buildable lot under county standards, and they wanted to make sure that it was not used for residential purposes.
Do we have to pay taxes on that, or are we exempt?
We're exempt. Most of the public property.
Let's make sure we don't put a 100-foot storage tank.
Yeah.
Did they approach us to have this split to receive some of that back, or we just come up with that idea?
No, there was a lawsuit filed by the Entrusted District, and it was before the board, and the board agreed to this solution to solving the lawsuit. This is back anyway, when Ryder was here.
I thought the reversionary clause was in effect long before the...
So who gets the two lots? We do or the other people?
The other people.
We get the two lots and then we convey it by quick claim deed or whatever to, in fact, we already have to on the previous. And when we did that, the county came and said, hey, you have to go through a public lot split, which means we have to go through the process. And I said, well, is there a simple way of just doing it once? We go through a public lot split, split off the large parcel, then the property owner come back again, split the large parcel into two parcels. And I'm trying to save, you know, time and expenses, and it's kind of futile sometimes working with the county.
I know. Seems
like it's pretty much in order now, though.
Well, if you want with the public lot split, there all these restrictions would probably not be on the remainder lot.
Any other board questions or comments? Any public comments or questions regarding this lot split transaction?
Okay, then I'm looking for a motion. The other motion is to...
to do a roll call vote.
All right,
what
do we have here?
It'd be a motion
property
to
transfer.
Right. Be a motion to approve the property transfer agreement.
And this is the agreement.
Okay. So I need a motion that we approve the property transfer. We've outlined our materials tonight, and also to execute this covenant and agreement restricting the use on the property.
I move on the property that we go ahead with the program.
Okay, got a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And a second by Director Blair. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Blair?
Yes.
Director Mendoza?
Yes.
Director Fairbanks?
Yes.
Director
Small? Yes. Okay, that item is passed unanimously. Moving on to item number 8. This is approval of warrants. Anything that we need to be alerted to? Anything special in here? Doug or Lisa?
I found a $17,000 error. The county overpaid us last month in property taxes.
I saw that memo, yeah. Thanks for sending that over.
But I called them.
Too bad it was in the wrong direction.
Well, they overpaid us $17,000 and instead of what they came. Quickly
ask this
for
Lisa. Cambria needs it.
Yeah.
Not that we don't. Yeah, I bet they were grateful for that. Were they on it when you notified them of it?
Yeah, no,
or are they just totally...
I couldn't reconcile the mentioned property tax report, and I called
the gal and
talked to them.
Okay. We were very honest. Excellent staff of finals.
That's quite a bit to be off though on a $50,000 transaction, you know, so a huge percentage of it. Any board questions on any items in here?
Is it close enough for government work?
Yeah. Public have any questions regarding bills? Well, I see a sheet here. We have a copy of some bills here. There's nothing really amazingly special. Okay, Chair, I'll entertain a motion that we approve the warrants.
I just want to ask, what are those sizable refunds for?
That's a little coming, but that's for taxes.
No. Those are, we charge a $500 deposit for construction meters. And then when they're done with them, we just reduce it by the water use and for the needs of construction.
I'm going to be approved of that.
Okay. Motion by Director Mendoza. Do I have a second?
I second.
A second by Director Simon. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. No one is opposed. The warrants are approved unanimously. Item number 9 is the second quarter financial report and budget review. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, staff has prepared a second quarter, which is the halfway through the year, 6 months financial report and balance sheet. we are basically 50% through the year. All the figures show most of the revenue is at 50 or slightly above 50%. Most of the expenditures are at or below 50%. There's a few expenditures are one-time item expenditures like buying some equipment, which shows it substantially above 50%, close to 100%, but the one-time expenditure and therefore does not reoccur again. And so those are in there. Most of the accounts are functional and in the black, except for a couple minor ones. You have a summary revenue and expense report in the first page, and then a balance sheet, and then all the different funds, the summary of the funds, and then each individual fund has their own income statement, expense, and balance sheet.
Okay. Lisa, is there anything you want to add? I had just one or two little questions, but did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I'd like to do one of the questions, if I am.
Okay, and the in the memo from you, it said that the consulting for the water and sewer master plan was budgeted last year, but we paid it this year. So, did we budget enough last year to cover all of our payments for that this year? Okay. There was no unexpected.
Yeah, it just wasn't encumbered this year.
Okay,
that's true.
That was just like a pre-budgeted expense or something then.
Whenever we start a project close to the end of the fiscal year, we're going to have that rollover.
Well, that's inescapable. And then, is there any problem with, I noticed on, say, page 3 of the Excel, looks like Excel printout, it says revenues at the top of the page, and then if you look at the percent of budget column, there's a 41 there. It's on the page where it says page 3 handwritten on the bottom.
Okay.
Revenues, it says 41% of budget. Shouldn't that be closer to 50? Is that a problem or is that explainable?
That, I believe, is a computer problem.
Yeah, because of all the zeros.
Really?
Right.
Do you think it added the percentages? Or it also looks, though, like if you look at the year-to-date total column, $837,000, and you put that over the total budget, 2029, that is about 41%. Just kind of doing it quickly in my head. I was
thinking we should be around halfway.
Well, I see what the problem is. If you look at account 4850, where we have the transfer from reserves, $585,000, we have 0 year to date.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's throwing it off.
Gotcha.
So we would use that transfer, and that column total budget matches the budget exactly. And we had showed that to budget all of our fixed assets and our capital outlay for the year.
Okay. Yep,
that if you took that out, everything.
If you took that out, it'd be real square. Yeah. Also noticed that it appears that almost all the funds, well, not all of them, but let's say on the summary sheet, that nice top sheet that's here. When you look at the far right column on a couple of them, like the administration fund, you know, it shows a slight deficit there, I guess. The water fund, slight deficit. Now, these are the deficits are there because it looks like primarily because of the depreciation we're trying to do on them.
That's true.
But there's also some funded depreciation down below. I'm not an accountant, but I'm having a hard time separating those two depreciations
okay.
there.
Each fund has depreciation expense, so there's a non-cash depreciation item, right? But what we do, and you don't see it in the year-to-date expense column, for example, in the water department, there's an expense, year-to-date expenses of $381,000.
Right.
Included in that is, $15,000 that we expense to the water fund, took it out of the water fund, and moved it down into the funded depreciation
account.
You don't see it reflected, but whatever's in the funded depreciation in the cash accounts below account 800, 801, 802, and 803.
Right.
Those monies are reflected in the combined total of the year-to-date expenses. So that's what we're basically trying to show depreciation as another expense, and we're funding it. We're moving the cash out of the water department, so we can't use that except for depreciation.
Actually, the water one was 42,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I looked at the wrong one.
Okay, I got you. I understand what you're saying, though. Okay. Maybe I can be retrained. It's going to take a while.
Then just subtract that out and then do a comparison and mm-hmm. see if
yeah.
it's more realistic. I mean, that's the cash mm-hmm. situation.
Right, yeah. Right. It's starting to make a little bit of sense to me now. Other questions or comments from the board? On the quarter report?
Oh, I'd like to make another comment for Bob because I think there was a little mix up last time. In the cash accounts, if you look at the very bottom, there's four accounts that are Fund 820, which are the assessment district funds. In the past, I could combine them all into one total, and now I broke them out for you into four. The improvement, the redemption, the reserve, and the in lieu. The redemption fund and the reserve fund, the district has no control of those. Those were set up by bond indenture. So those are funds that the board can't say we're going to give back to the people until the 25 years is expired. So
okay.
just so that you know that that's the breakdown, and even though there's large amounts there, they have to be there by law.
Is the improvement fund, is that part of that too, or is that?
That is up to Matt Brown, the bond counsel. He told me at the end of 2 years to call him, and then he would give us the procedures on what to do with that money. But the district had a lot obligation to hold it for 2 years.
Five months.
Okay,
I was just curious because that has impacted the budget.
No, but we get interest on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our cash flow is different now, but overall, changing from monthly to bimonthly, we have less turnoff. We have less problems. Kathy is having more time. We have a few people, customers who have complained about it, but if they're on sewer, we tell them we'll come in the month that you don't get a bill and pay $32 because you know that's what your sewer bill is going to be. In the next month when they get their bill, all they have is their water portion, and that seems to be working out for the people that tend to have a hard time budgeting the money. So overall, I think it's been real successful.
Yes, good.
Yeah, the surprising thing has been less water turnoff than before.
Really?
I would think it'd be the other way around. But
we had five last month in a normal, on a monthly billing, we were having maybe 15 to 20.
Hmm.
So,
that's the way you
want to
get half the money bill.
Bingo.
It didn't affect my level of understanding because I'll basically lost. I wasn't missing a page two. I had two page threes and not a page two. If you find a page two right now, I'm talking about one that would be handwritten page two on the bottom. That looked like a breakdown because I had a blank page. And I was going, oh, this must have been when the collator broke down and then hit the floor. Any director, questions or comments? Anything you want to add, Lisa?
No.
Okay, thanks for the report. Katie, do you have anything? Sorry, I keep looking at you, but I know of your accounting experience. You didn't want to rush out of here before you had your shot. Okay, public comments. Yes.
John, I had a question. I was wondering what the legal expenditure was for the second quarter to date.
I don't know if any groundwater management broke out individually. Wouldn't it be just part of the water expenses?
Yeah. It would be in the water. It would be. Isn't it built under the water department?
Well, staff time is just all allocated wages. We don't keep track of our day to day time. We didn't have any legal to any water council. I take that back. last month we had a $285 bill for water bill.
And what's the total bill?
Okay. We have legal broken down into three sections. We have regular legal, which year to date is $17,000. And then we have legal, which is our polybutylene litigation, is $31,000. And then our water council litigation, our water council, $557,000.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Yes, on KWLC's policy, on the follow-up on that, is there a possibility for future reference that any money spent on groundwater management agency is split up? So that we know what is being spent.
We're treating that account separately. Okay.
Well, as far, like I said, as far as staff, and we're too small to account for that separately, but any large bills or legal bills, if that's what you're looking for, sure, but underwater
for budget purposes, don't we just, we look at individual salaries and we say 35% of the person's salary is dedicated towards
working
water issues.
Well,
30%
water fund, water fund, sewer fund, but we don't break it down any further than that.
I understand.
We spend more time than our time to.
It's just a percentage of time for each employee spent to. So we might not get the specific one, but certainly, significant charges,
What I would be interested in, obviously you were looking at $15 bills, but
right.
As soon as it does get into the managers, we have to invite PFAS to this one.
Yeah, us too, because at some point we might want to be reimbursed for that.
Or, maybe, and I'll comment on that later, the water district can be reimbursed for hours, but it's so short.
Okay. Any further questions or comments on budget review? Okay, we didn't, this is information, right?
Mm-hmm.
On board action meeting. Okay, thank you, Lisa. item number 10 then is under other business. This is the manager's report, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, information was previously given to each of the board members about the Chamber's annual installation dinner coming up on January 20th. It's this weekend, and if any of the board members wish to attend, hopefully they made their arrangements. If not, then you can pay at the door so you can make the necessary arrangements. The brochure is there, and since we're a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, yeah. Chamber mixer. It's an installation door where they installed in the office.
You can pay at the door?
Yeah, you can pay at the door.
I'd like to go, but my wife's sick. If she gets better by Saturday, we'll go. She doesn't.
And then I've been asked to speak at their January 31st meeting on the groundwater management agency and plan. This is data report on the PV pipe repair. The contract has been replacing between 10 and 12 services a day. And I think last week averaged about 10 or 12. And he took off this week because of the CCWA project coming through town. And he had another little project, so we let him go this week and he can come back next week. They go in, and at the beginning of the week, they tear up and replace all services and probably come back and pave off the whole area and clean everything up. And it's been working quite well. And we've had a discussion with the architect on a new office building and hired a surveyor to develop a topographic survey of the lot so that the architect can use that for elevations and et cetera. And the survey crew was in last week, and the map should be completed hopefully sometime this week to give to the architect. And so he can locate where it is and what areas need to be filled and et cetera.
Okay, now we're looking at the lot where the existing old building is, right?
Yes, that's right.
Kind of gave up on the negotiation with the county on the lot switch.
If the board wishes to proceed that, they're still willing and able to do something.
It sounded like last time we visited with them, though, that they had some other plans there.
No, the last conversation I had with the general services, basically they like to trade it for water services to the park in exchange for whatever compensation is for the lot.
Okay.
We had something worked out, water over, I think, a 4 or 5 year period, based on the value of the lot for the park, and therefore the property, that 1 acre parcel would be gone to the district after that period of time. And therefore, the new office building could be placed on there, which would possibly be greater access to Test Street. So, if the board wants to revisit that, we can, but decisions have been made.
And we keep the old lot, too?
Yeah, we have both of
them. The only thing is the additional expense. If there's any additional expense for the district, then it's kind of...
Well, we're trading water for...
Not right now.
We'll be trading water for...
What's the new one going to be? Over on the Main Street?
No, it'd be adjacent to the parking lot where that Miller Business Center is, where the video shop used to be.
Where the old office building is, where the library, Napoma Library is right now?
Yeah.
It is from this street to Test Street. That's approximately 1 acre parcel.
So it'd be closer to Test Street than this street.
Right. It would be faced beyond Test Street.
Yeah.
And the county said, you know, if you want to trade water for property, they'd be interested in
entertaining that. I'd kind of like to pursue it for a couple of reasons. One, it's not going to cost us any out-of-pocket money. And two, the community gets sort of some use out of this old building. It's going to cost us, what, $120,000 to demolish this building? That's what the estimate
is. About $30,000.
Well, $30,000. Well, even whatsoever, like the food banks use it, we don't have to pay taxes on it. And we are providing an extra incentive service for other parts of the community. So if we could get a lot. Plus, I think it'd be better to have a lot on Test Street than we'd be back in here for the future development. You know, it is the placehold place grows. I think we'd be better off if we were there on Main Street.
That was my original feelings, and Doug and I had a little meeting with Ruth Brackett and someone from their who was that?
General Services.
General Services. They didn't seem to. At that point, my take was that they didn't seem as receptive as I hoped they were. They brought out, you know, that drawing of what they envisioned the downtown area to be and all this type of stuff, and that was going to be part of a park that Mr. Miller had already approached them with that concept. And, I don't know. I got the impression that they weren't ready to do it right now.
Well, you know, the last conversation I had with Kurt Sorg is that, you know, the district wants to trade a lot for water that you will enable to move forward on.
How much water are we talking about? Acre feet?
I'd have to review it again. It's roughly, about, I think it was about 20, I don't know what their bill is, $30,000 a year. Mm-hmm. For 5 years, you know, looking around $100,000 for a 1 acre lot in downtown commercial area.
Well, in the future, this lot will be worth something too if the town grows.
That lot's commercial area. Our existing buildings are commercial.
Yeah. So I just think we'd be better off if we were on the Main Street. Town road.
Well, you know, this brought to the board before, and some of the board members remember probably the thing. If you want to revisit that, we need to do it fairly rapidly.
How's the other board members feel about it? Would you guys rather be over there on the Main Street, or would you like this site better?
I don't think there's a big difference. As a matter of fact, I think there might be some advantages here in terms of traffic, the reduction of traffic and so on. And obviously, we've got a good ownership and at a good price. And there have been a lot of steps taken in ensuring that this is the right move. And I think that speaks for itself.
The county's is not inclined to make, you know, turnouts or the residential entrances from Pomeroy, say, is Test Street may become more of a problem? People coming off of Test, because people are driving 40, 45 miles an hour there, even though they shouldn't, but they are.
Well, I think
make a turn on Wilson and come into our establishment. It's not that big of a deal, maybe.
The street's 150 feet wide or something like that.
In that area, it's pretty wide, I think. Wind it up.
There are some concepts of making this a specialized retail area downtown. In fact, I think RRM I had a concept of parking in the middle and parking on the sides.
Yeah.
And not a high volume or high speed traffic area, more of a commercial area.